Yeah, good morning, church. So please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 2. So now we are in a new series of Old Testament, Deuteronomy. And so 2 weeks ago, our brother JP preached on the first chapter, the introduction to Deuteronomy. And the last week, our brother Olivier preached on the chapter 1. So now we are in the Deuteronomy chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1 through 23. So I hope you are there. I will read from the NIV version. Then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea. As the Lord has directed me, for a long time we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, "You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you, but be very careful. Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land, not even enough to put your foot on. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. You are to pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. Then the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything. So we went on past our brothers, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. We turned from the Araba road, which comes up from Elah and Ethion Geber, and traveled along the desert road of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not harass the Moabites or provoke them to war, for I will not give you any part of their land. I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession. The Amites used to live there, a people strong and numerous, and as tall as the Anakites. Like the Anakites, they too were considered Rephites, but the Moabites called them Amites. Horites used to live in Seir, but the descendants of Esau drove them out. They destroyed the Horites from before them and settled in their place, just as Israel did in the land of the Lord gave them as their possession." And the Lord said, "Now get up and cross the Cherith Valley." So we crossed the valley. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. But then the entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. The Lord's hand was against them until he had completely eliminated them from the camp. Now when the last of these fighting men among the people had died, the Lord said to me, "Today you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar. When you come to the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them to war, for I will not give you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I have given it as a possession to the descendants of Lot." That too was considered a land of Rephites who used to live there, but the Ammonites called them Tamtumites. They were a people strong and numerous, and as tall as Anakites. The Lord destroyed them from before the Ammonites, who drove them out and settled in their place. The Lord had done the same for the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They drove them out and have lived in their place to this day. And as far the Avarites who lived in the village as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorites coming out from Kaphtor destroyed them and settled in their place. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise your name for the Bible. And you know it's a difficult passage for us today to read and to learn. But it is your will that you have ordered your servant Moses to write down what had happened and what he told the Israelites. Lord, I pray it is your word, and I pray that you will open our hearts to receive your word. And you know all the hindrances, all the difficulties to understand. But I pray that you give us understanding. And I pray that because you have given us understanding and insights into your word, and we may know you better, and we may honor you and give glory to you. And we may also, by your grace, and we may be changed by your word and the truth that is written in the Bible. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I said before, our brother JP and Olivier had already preached two sermons on the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. So now we are moving forward to this second chapter. So we are also reminded what happened in the chapter 1. So it's basically, there was a rebellion of Israelites against the Lord by refusing to enter the promised land. And we are also reminded that 12 leaders were chosen from each tribe of Israelites, and they were sent out as spies to bring a report to the people. So among these 12 leaders, only Caleb, son of Jephunneh from the tribe of Judah, and Joshua, son of Nun from the tribe of Ephraim, encouraged people to go up and fight for the promised land. So Caleb said, "Let's go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." However, the other 10 leaders brought the opposite report. They said, "We can't attack the people. The people are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities are large, with walls up to the heaven." So, eventually the Israelites were persuaded by the report from the 10 leaders. They wept aloud and grumbled against Moses. They even came up with a plan, that is, to choose a new leader who would lead them back to Egypt. So what happened next was Moses fell face down to pray for them, and Joshua and Caleb spoke to them and encouraged them to trust in the Lord rather than themselves. However, the whole assembly were about to stone Caleb and Joshua. It was at this very moment the Lord spoke to Moses. How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them. Moses knelt down in front of the Lord and interceded for the Israelites. The Lord heard the prayer and intercession of Moses and forgave the Israelites, which means that the Lord would not destroy them with a plague. Nevertheless, the Lord will discipline them who treated him with contempt, and those who disobey him for many times. As a result of distrust and disobedience, these people will die in the wilderness and will not see the promised land. Of course, there was also a reward for those who had believed, namely only Caleb and Joshua. They will enter the promised land. Then the Lord commanded Moses, "But as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea." This is the background information for what we are going to learn this morning. That's what we have learned in the last 2 weeks. So in the verse 1 of chapter 2, "Then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For many days we made our way around the hill country of Seir." How many days had passed? So it says, for many days. Well, it was actually 38 years. So everyone who was 20 years old or more at the rebellion will die in the wilderness, and their children would be shepherds for 40 years, suffering from the unfaithfulness of their fathers. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days of those 12 spies explore the promised land. Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and this 40 years were compact into one verse in the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to learn more about what happened during these 40 years, you should read the book of Numbers, starting from chapter 16. You will find the rebellion of Korah and the death of Miriam and strife of people with Moses because of water, and also the death of Aaron. So now we come back to verse 2. "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your relatives, the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. They will be afraid of you, but be very careful. Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land, not even to put your foot on. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. You are to pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. Isaac and his wife, Rebekah, had twin boys." So now I'll give you some background story of Esau. So the firstborn boy was Esau, and the second one, his younger brother, was Jacob. So I hope all of you knew the story. So as they grew up, Esau became a hunter, an excellent hunter, very skillful. Well, Jacob would prefer to stay at home with his mom. That's his character. Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. So one day Esau came home exhausted and he wanted to eat something. Well, Jacob prepared the red stew, and Jacob agreed on the condition that if Esau would give him his birthright, he will give him the red stew. So blinded by hunger, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. When Isaac was old, he asked Esau to hunt and prepare a meal for him. It was his desire to bless Esau. However, Rebekah heard this and quickly advised Jacob to trick his father into blessing him instead. So with his mother, Rebekah's help, Jacob dressed like his brother and received the blessing of his father. As a result, Esau planned to kill Jacob after his father died. And Rebekah found out, and she asked Jacob to flee. So then we know Jacob fled to Laban, where he married Leah and Rachel. About 20 years later, God told him to return to his homeland. So Jacob was afraid of Esau would kill him and his whole family. However, Esau had forgiven Jacob and embraced him. In Genesis chapter 35, the last verse told that Esau and Jacob buried their father Isaac together, and the descendants of Esau were recorded in chapter 36. So we know that in the Bible, the Lord chose Jacob rather than Esau. And we also know from the book of Malachi, chapter 1, the Lord said, "Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated." So nevertheless, we are told here that the Lord had done something great for the children of Esau. The Lord had destroyed the Horites from before the descendants of Esau. They drove the Horites out and have lived in their place. The command from the Lord is as follows: "Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land, not even enough to put your foot on. You are to pay them in silver for food and the water you drink." The Israelites must buy food and water from them. The reason was given in the preceding verse: "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." In Numbers chapter 20, from verse 14, we read that Moses actually sent messengers to the king of Edom. He says, "This is what your brother Israel says: you know about all the hardships that have come to us. Our ancestors went down into Egypt, and we lived there many years. The Egyptians mistreated us and our ancestors. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our cry and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Now we are here at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your country. We will not go through any field or vineyard, or drink water from any well. We will travel along the king's highway and not turn to the right or to the left until we have passed through your territory." But Edom answered, "You may not pass through here. If you try, we will march out and attack you with a sword." The Israelites replied, "We will go along the main road, and if we or our livestock drink any of your water, we will pay for it. We only want to pass through on foot, nothing else." Again, they answered, "You may not pass through." Then Edom came out with a large and powerful army. Since Edom refused to let them go through their territory, Israel turned away from them. So that was recorded in Numbers chapter 20. So now we are back in the Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 8. "So we went on past our relatives, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. We turned from the Arabah road, which comes up from Elah and Etien Geber, and traveled along the desert road of Moab." So it is evident that the king of Edom didn't allow Israelites to pass through their land. And there's two places mentioned here, so Elah and Etien Geber were located at the southern border of Edom. So it implies that the Israelites made a circuit of its southern boundary and they then journeyed in the northward direction. So they probably bought food and water from the people who lived there. So sometimes the people are much kinder than the king. So finally, the Israelites reached the border of Moab on the southeast of the Salt Sea. So now we are at the verse 9. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Do not harass the Moabites or provoke them to war, for I will not give you any part of their land. I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession.'" Who was Lot? Lot was a nephew of Abraham. He came to the land of Cana with Abraham because of a famine. So Lot and Abraham went to Egypt. So when they came back from Egypt, their people, their shepherds, quarreled against each other because of they have too many livestock and the land was not enough to support their livestock. So then Abraham made an offer to Lot. And Lot chose the land near the Jordan River. Later on, Lot settled his family near the city of Sodom. During the war between the four kings and the five kings, Lot and his family were taken away as a part of the plunder. When Abraham heard of this, he attacked the army at night and saved Lot and his family. Afterwards, Lot returned to Sodom and lived there. In Genesis chapter 19, we read that the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he sent two angels to save Lot, who lived in Sodom. The angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry up, take your wife and your two daughters, otherwise you will be swept away when the city is punished." So when Lot hesitated, the angels grabbed his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Later on, we learned that Lot and his two daughters lived in a cave. Both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of Moabites today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ami. He is the father of Ammonites of today. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, we are told that the Lord is merciful not only to Lot, but also to the descendants of Lot. The Lord has given Ar to the Moabites as a possession. In verse 10, it says, "The Emites used to live there, a people strong and numerous, and as tall as the Anakites. But the Lord helped the Moabites to drive them out and made them dwell there." So once Abraham saved Lot and his family, once Abraham prayed and interceded for the city of Sodom in which Lot lived, did the Moabites show kindness and mercy to the descendants of Abraham? No. We are told in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. So Balak was the king of Moab at that time. So Balak sent messengers to summon Balaam. So the king of Moab said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." So despite that the Moabites hated Israelites, and the king of Moabites intended to curse and destroy the Israelites, the Lord is merciful to Lot and his descendants. So the command of the Lord is very clear. "Do not harass the Moabites or provoke them to war, for I will not give you any part of their land. I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession." The Lord said the similar words concerning Ammonites. "Today you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar. When you come to the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them to war, for I will not give you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I have given it as a possession to the descendants of Lot." I think there are several things we can think about, we can reflect on this passage. The first thing, the Lord is sovereign over the whole earth, and he gives the land to any nation he wishes. The Lord is sovereign over all the kingdoms, and he gives the kingdom to anyone he wishes. So if the people are evil and wicked in the sight of the Lord, he will drive them out from their land when their sin has reached its full measure. And that's what we learn in the Old Testament. Secondly, while we know it's true that the Lord has chosen Jacob rather than his brother Esau, but the Lord is merciful and gracious to the descendants of Esau. The Lord is merciful not only to Lot, the nephew of Abraham, but also to his descendants, the Moabites and Ammonites. He drove out evil nations before them and gave them a land to dwell in. Thirdly, it is completely wrong to imagine that the Lord will give the land to those who are better, to those who are more righteous than the people who live there, or the people who will be driven out. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, we read, the Moses said, after the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. So along this line of thought, there's no reason to believe that because someone is morally good person, someone is a better person, he is chosen by God to be a Christian. Christians are not necessarily better than the outsiders. Christians are a group of people who have been saved by grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are again reminded that for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Finally, there's no reason for Christians to envy others who have been given great possessions. Like we have learned here, the descendants of Esau, the descendants of Lot, have already given a land to dwell in, but the Israelites were still wandering in the desert. So there's no reason for Christians to envy other people who have been given possessions. So we don't need to spend time in vain trying to find out why some people are more blessed than us, or why some people are given more than we are. The success and possessions of other people should not prevent us from following Jesus. We must learn to offer our bodies daily as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is our true and proper worship. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks again for this passage, and I know it is difficult, and you know it is difficult for us to even to read and to understand. There are so many names, nations, name of nations, and the stories. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to embrace the truth in it, and you are merciful and gracious to the people, and not only to the ancestors like Esau and Lot, but also to their descendants. You gave them a land to dwell in. Lord, I pray that you help us and to trust in you no matter what we have now, no matter our situations are, and no matter Yeah, we see that people, outsiders, maybe live a better life than us. Maybe they have more possessions than we have. But Lord, I pray that you give us the confidence that our future is secured because you have loved us. It's not because we are better, not because we are good, but because you are good. And Lord, yeah, please renew our faith and renew our minds and renew our walk with you and renew our fellowship with you. And I pray that in the coming week, and help us to offer our bodies as a daily sacrifice. And this is our true fellowship and true worship to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.